one of those things. Why didn't anyone ever invite me? In my neighborhood where I grew up, I'm invited to play basketball. I'm invited to throw a football. I'm invited to run. Mm-hmm. No one ever came to the neighborhood to invite me to run.
Hey listeners, Denise here, and in this episode, we interview Richard Butler, former inclusion manager for US Rowing. His experience is the type that you don't want to ignore. He shares his best tips on what the rowing community needs to do in order to diversify our sport. So take a pen and notepad and get ready to take some notes, and as always, enjoy. Welcome to the Rowing in Color podcast. I want to introduce here our special guest. We have Richard Butler. Welcome, Richard.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for making time. We're so happy to speak with you. How are you doing during this time? I mean, it's been an interesting 2020 so far. We've had a lot of stuff going on. How are you doing?
Yeah, we have a lot going on. Who would ever, for the New Year's resolution, would have said, I hope there's a virus. And, you know, this is something that we could have never, ever plan or thought of. This is something that's new, and I'm doing as well as any person could be. Like you, I'm educating people. And so because of George Floyd, I've had the opportunity to hold space for people all over the country. And I'm an educator also, I'm a professor, so I'm able to just educate people. And so today I'm excited because I actually get to finally unravel how I'm doing. And so to answer your question to that, I'm not doing well. It's a horrible time in all of our lives, and that's it. But I will get through it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people are with you there. And I think it does take a lot of courage to admit, you know, not just when one's doing all right, but when one's not doing all right as well. So thank you for leading with vulnerability and hopefully giving folks the courage to also be able to admit that as well. So for folks who might not be familiar with who you are, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Richard Butler. I live in Pittsburgh. I've been involved in rowing for 10 years. First as an executive director of Three Rivers Rowing here in Pittsburgh, one of the largest rowing programs in the country. And then second as the first ever diversity inclusion manager for USA Rowing. And just a little side note, I've been coaching on off the water for about 10 years, but I think coaching on the air since 1983.
That's definitely experience there. That's the type of experience that speaks volumes, that speaks more than what's on a resume. That's the type of experience where if you're telling someone some advice, they better listen.
Thank you. I think I'm the content expert by now.
I would hope so. And with that in mind, can you tell us a little bit more about your story? How did you get into rowing? What hooked you in?
Sure. It's an interesting story. So I was working at a local hospital just on a team for a special project, and one of the women there was a master's rower. And she came to me. She knew my background. So my background has been, I've been in the fitness industry for 38 years. And I've coached multiple athletes, be it future Olympians, professional football, NHL, collegiate athletes looking to become professional athletes. So I have a long history of coaching. And she knew that I was a coach. And she said, hey, I would like for our Masters women's team to win Masters National. And I went, what is Masters National? Because although I've been in Pittsburgh all my life and seen all the rivers, I knew nothing about rowing. Nothing. And I'll tell you this story. The main reason I knew nothing about rowing, not one person ever invited me to row. But nevertheless, I said, no, I'm not interested in taking on any more clients. I'm busy with this project, blah, blah, blah. She said, well, just go to her website and take a look at what we do. So I go to Three Rivers Drawing website, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I see that the executive director's position is open. Went, that would be interesting. Like, run a rowing club. What is a rowing club? I actually gave them my resume, and they called me, interviewed me, and they had interviewed lots of rowers from all over the country, and they decided that they already knew how to row, and they needed leadership. And that's how I got into rowing. The first year, I made a promise not to take up time and row. The second year, I actually learned to row. So I learned to row. I think I learned to row, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and have been in love with the sport. It's one of those things. Why didn't anyone ever invite me? In my neighborhood where I grew up, I'm invited to play basketball. I'm invited to throw a football. I'm invited to run. Mm-hmm. No one ever came to my neighborhood to invite me to run. And I think that's the whole gist of it. Rowers need to stop being rowers in the boat and be a rower in the neighborhood.
That's so important. And it just seems so logical. You know, if there's a boathouse in a certain neighborhood, then reach out to your neighbors. If there's someone within your community within a mile, they should know about your boathouse.
That's right. So, so that was the most amazing experience, is to be an executive director of a rowing program. I can remember my wife's, when I got home, saying to me, "You don't know anything about rowing." I said, "I need to know anything about rowing. I need to know how to generate revenue through programming." And so a couple of years later, I get a call from a board member from U.S. Rowing, and U.S. Rowing decided they were going to put together a diversity task force. And they wanted people in that task force to go around the country, hold town halls, just figure out why rowing just was not attracting people of color. So we went to the major cities, and we've had conversations in Boston and New York and Baltimore. And then out of that came a recommendation that U.S. Rowing, if you're going to be serious about this, then you need to hire a diversity inclusion person to do something about it. And I ended up being that person. And what's interesting is, there was very strong leadership on the board at that time of U.S. Rowing, who made it a mandate. That was going to be part of the strategic plan. And saying that out loud to anyone that's listening, that it begins with your board of directors. It's that simple. If your board of directors don't look like me, if your board of directors do not put diversity and inclusion in the actual strategic plan, into the business model, it's not going to happen. So I had a lot of support from the board that made it a thing.
I think that's such specific knowledge and specific experience and specific steps that people really need to hear right now. Because a lot of what people are thinking is, what do I do next? All right, I posted, I made my statement, now what? And having that leadership, having that explicitly stated in your mission, your board, your bylaws, etc., is going to mean more than having maybe a book club or you know, something smaller scale. That really, it just, the vision needs to be at the top. The vision needs to be at the top.
Period. I'll show you successful programs based on what I just told you. What does a board look like? That's my first question. For each time that I had the opportunity, so I had the opportunity to actually create America Rows. And America Rows is U.S. Rowing's diversity and inclusion initiative to make sure that all Americans have the opportunity to row. And through that, I was able to travel and be in hundreds of boathouses throughout the United States. And my very straightforward question to each of those boathouses, let me see your board. Who is the leadership? Who are your coaches? Who are your members? look around you, who is not here? And so, you know, my role as the D&I manager sometimes was a programmatic role, meaning that when I went to the boathouses, they had the same questions that you were just asking. How do I do it? How do I recruit? How da 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 da? And so I would sit down and we talk about strategic planning. Is this part of your business model? There was a lot of success of programs that we were able to help grow. So when people have a demand to U.S. Rowing right now, U.S. Rowing really isn't equipped to be programmers to create your program for you. It's up to you to create your program. Now, I don't know what U.S. Rowing is doing right now, but at the time, I provided the expertise to help programs be programs. But there's no cookie cutter, because every city, there's no cookie cutter way to be a boathouse or how to recruit people of color, because each city, each boathouse is located in a different place. So geographics play a role. What type of community are you in? Maybe you're thinking it's just Jewish people. And so my question is, are your Jewish neighbors rowing?
I 100% agree. I think there's no one size fits all model with regard to diversity. I mean, I think part of the problem is there's no unified language surrounding what diversity means. I think sometimes it can be seen as a code word for Black and brown people. But like you just said, look around the room. Who's missing? Who's missing that we see driving or biking or walking on the way to the boathouse that we pass by them? But then when we walk inside our boathouse, they're not there. And that's where we need to start.
In the welcome mat, you know, just structure alone, the welcome mat of a boathouse is behind the boathouse, not in front, right?
That's so true. Yeah. that makes a lot of sense.
So no one's knocking on your door either.
Yeah.
They don't know. If they wanted to know, they didn't know you have to go around to the docks, or because that's where everyone's exiting, that's where everyone is. Mm-hmm. And so there's that too. Mm-hmm. Just structurally, it wasn't built that way as a racist system. It's just that's the nature of you want to be facing towards the water.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the point is not welcoming, just based on design.
Right. It's an unintentional gatekeeping.
Yep. Makes it inaccessible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many folks who are listening to this interview right now are thinking, do I even have a welcome mat on the back on the back door to my boathouse? Do I even have a sign that says interested in rowing? This is how you join. I wonder if folks have that, and maybe this is the action. Maybe this is the sign you're looking for. Maybe this is the quick action item you can take.
That's spot on. And if you are allowed to, depending upon your community, if you're along a bike trail or a bridge that you're rowing under every day, do you have a poster or a flyer saying our boathouse is just down the street and all of them are welcome? Are you attending the events that are happening on the shoreline right along your boathouse? Or do you row? You're done rowing and you just don't connect with the community at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important. And I think it touches on just checking our blind spots. Just, you know, who are we so used to not seeing in our spaces, in our day-to-day, in our routine of rowing? And maybe just taking a second look at that and, hey, maybe these are the people that I should be including. That's what inclusive is.
Yep, that's right.
Awesome. That's just... Folks who are listening right now, these are some golden nuggets of information. If you have not taken a notepad and a pen and haven't written this down yet, this is your sign. You pause, you get that pen, you notepad, reverse, play again. Like this is Richard Butler. Thank you so much so far. We're not even done yet. We're just getting started.
Oh my gosh, I've had multiple years of wanting to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's let it rip. Let's keep going. Where should we go next? What should we talk about?
We should really think about that concept that I said earlier, is that you need to stop being a rower in the boathouse if you're really looking to recruit people that don't look like you. Mm-hmm. And you stop hanging your Learn to Row Day flyer up in the boathouse. The people in the boathouse already know how to row. Hang your Learn to Row Day poster in the local barbershop or the hair salon. There's nothing that gets by the people in a barbershop or a hair salon. That is the fabric of the community. Mm-hmm. And being able to just go in and talk about your rowing program in these local barbershops, in these local hair salons, mm-hmm. guess what? They know the youth, they know the adults, and you're missing out on people to advocate on your rowing, or on your behalf. It's just so important. I get tired of going in boathouses and seeing the Learn to Row Day posters in the boathouse.
Oh my gosh, that's like putting the label inside the bottle.
Yes.
Like, how am I supposed to know how to take this? You put it inside. I can't get in there.
Right. What am I going to do with it?
Oh my gosh. I think I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I think, I can't remember the year, maybe it was 2014, 2015, the U.S. Rowing National Convention in Philadelphia. And I remember you giving this talk during the level two certification course. Yes. I can't remember what year it was. It was one of those, but I remember you saying that barbershops, hair salons, schools, churches, these are where people are. There's no secret sauce. People go to school. They go to get their haircuts. I mean, maybe not right now, but they get their, this is an interesting 2020 so far. Do they get their haircuts? They go to church. These are places that they go. There are community boards in church. There's a community board in Starbucks and probably your local small business. Mm-hmm. And that's where that Learn to Row flyer goes. That's the outside of the bottle where people need to put those flyers.
And if you're using U.S. Rowing's Learn to Row Day poster, I would make sure that poster is reflective of the people that you're trying to recruit. Because U.S. Rowing, I don't know if they still do, you can just order a Learn to Row Day poster. But make sure, what audience are you trying to reach? And does that poster reflect that all are welcome?
Mm-hmm. You're giving me a product idea for maybe Rowing in Color. I can start making some posters for folks, but I also don't want to get into the habit of making folks literally feel like a poster child or a poster. So we'll have to go about that strategically. But if folks are listening to this and have a great idea that I haven't gotten to yet, or that Richard is just really hitting on and I'm just not hearing, by all means, reach out. This is our community. This is our sport. Let's change it. Let's change it together. So thank you for that idea, Richard. This is so good. We should have been doing this a long time ago. This is great. Let's keep talking. What? Where else shall we go next?
I know that there, I just want to talk institutionally speaking of rowing clubs in general. And I will tell you, one of the things that I really admired about, I can remember going into boathouses all over America, and rightfully so, on the walls are posters of all white guys with oars. That makes sense. That's the history. And so you really need to question your artifacts mm-hmm. that you have on your walls, that you have, because you call it a boathouse, but does it really feel like a home to a person that's not like you?
Mm.
And that's important. My own experience of walking into these boathouses, the fact that as a Black man in America, that I have to live a life of code switching, not being able to be myself even more when I'm in the boathouse that I may have been the first person of color to set foot in. Mm-hmm. So I'm uncomfortable, and I'm there with a great mission. And so how uncomfortable are the people that you're trying to recruit? And so I'm not saying you need to put pictures of Black people on the wall. I'm saying you can add other art, other artifacts to make people feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Your history is important and no one's going to take that away from you, but you want it to be a collective history, then you're going to have to make some changes of what your artifacts actually are.
Yeah. And I think artifacts is a really interesting word to put to it, because like you said, it doesn't have to be photos. It doesn't have to be something as performative as here's your one photo in the boathouse. Check, we did it. I mean, think about I mean, I know that there are some boathouses that have like the college pennants. If you have folks in your boathouse that went to historically Black colleges or universities, how about a pennant from Howard? How about a pennant from Spelman? What other ways can you signify that this is a space, this is a home, not just a boathouse?
Right.
What other ways can folks utilize that artifact, because that term of artifact, because I think for different boathouses, the culture is expressed differently, which is what makes boathouses so much fun to be in, well, part of it. But how can folks do that? And I wonder if folks who are listening right now, I mean, I wonder what your thoughts are, and please share it with our Instagram. That way we can share with others as well. That way we can build off of each other's great ideas and not have to do this alone. So thank you for that great starting point, Richard. I think having the photos, having the artifacts, we got Barack and Michelle Obama. Why not? Why not?
That's your president of the United States. So it's mm-hmm. okay. It's
yeah.
neutral. I hope it's neutral.
Yeah. I think so too. And even so, we've got Arshay Cooper's documentary, his book coming out. I don't know if there are movie posters out yet, but hey, why don't we put that up in the boathouse? That's rowing related. We got photos.
Seriously, you could have pictures of Sugar Water, the title of the book as mm-hmm. the book.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we also got Anita DeFrance's book. I think Akil has a book. Akil Abdullah has a book.
Book I read about an African-American rowing, by the way.
Mm.
So it's an amazing story. I think Akil's story is a good story, along with Arshay's and David Banks and even mine. And here's why. We, as you are trying to be in this business of being inclusive, I want to caution you to not lump us all as the same, and your approach, and think that we all have the same experiences. And so it's really important for coaches, board members, and including members, to learn to be racially literate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean culturally competent. Culturally competency is very challenging anymore, because we are so multicultural as a nation that there's not a chance in hell that we're going to know everyone's culture. That's just unfair to expect someone to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can become racially literate, and that's important. That's just as important as the artifacts. And the reason is, I now understand that you understand. And so my story is way different than Akil's story.
Mm-hmm.
But we may have some shared experiences simply because of the color of our skin,
mm-hmm.
but may end there. My story, just as an example, I've been very fortunate that I, as a 10-year-old, stood right in the middle of my street after they assassinated Dr. King in 1968 and watched the first race, not the first race riots, but watched the riots of 1968 and here in Pittsburgh. And my little town of Homewood, the north side of Pittsburgh, and the Hill District of Pittsburgh burned to the ground. 1,000 people were arrested, 35 were hurt, one was killed, 3,500 National Guardsmen just storming through our streets, and they weren't being nice to us. So that's my experience, and so I'm an activist because of that. But I want coaches and boathouses to not lump everyone. If you have a cookie cutter way that you want to have this diversity, to have to be inclusive, there is not a cookie cutter way.
Mm-hmm.
You as a coach say, well, I just want to coach and I just want fast boats. You're going to fail. You're going to fail because you're not going to keep that rower. It is really interesting because football, basketball, soccer, those coaches have learned that a lot more comes with the athletes than just coaching them. They have used young Black men and forever for their sport, and they've learned that other things come with that. To be able to have those athletes, it's just not just at water and they will row. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to that. Creating a culture that's very, a culture that people want to be in, not asking the rower of color to assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
I think that's a really, I want to hear the rest of what you have to say, but I want to pause because there's a lot of weight to what you're saying. And I want to make sure we're lifting each phrase, lifting each point that you're making and making sure we and our listeners and our community completely understand what you're saying. So you touched on assimilation, you touched on inclusivity, and there was a part before, but I think we'll get to it. But I want to start with assimilation. Something that came up in multiple episodes before is the theme of assimilation versus integration. And when talking about inclusivity, there is a potential opportunity to fall into the trap of assimilating or expecting folks to assimilate versus giving folks the space to integrate into the sport. Can you speak more to what you mean by that with regard to assimilation?
Yeah, thanks for framing it that way, because I just ramble on and hope that you get a nugget every other sentence.
There's a lot of nuggets. Just want to make sure we're like lifting them.
Yes. It's like having, I wanted to just think about this for a moment. It's been proven that organizations, businesses, big Fortune 500 businesses that are inclusive and diverse have 30% more profit. They perform better. And they perform better because they also have a diversity of thought. And you have the richness of that diversity of thought in their cultures and their experiences. And so they profit 33% more. If I said that if you were more diverse and inclusive and your boat would go 30% faster, would that be the would that be the trigger to get you to say, I want to be more diverse and inclusive? But getting back to that, the problem with assimilation, and this happens with interviewing people in for a job, that we have made this big mistake to have a cultural fit.
Mm.
And when I'm looking for a cultural fit, I'm in essence looking for someone just like me. And so I'm not going to get the diversity of thought. I'm not going to get that that rich experience. What I'm looking for my boat, for my boathouse, is a cultural add. What will that person add to my crew? What will that person add to my boathouse? And that person's probably going to be way different than I am if I'm looking for a cultural add. Mm-hmm. Sameness creates mediocrity, which if we have mediocrity in a boat, we have slow boats.
If we had an 8 filled with all starboards, it wouldn't go straight.
Not at all.
And I think to extend to what you were saying, let's think of all the sports that we know now to not be like baseball, basketball, tennis. I'm sure I'm missing something, but these are all sports that 100 years ago were all white sports. I can't do the math right now because it's 2020 and it feels like 3 years already this year.
Yes, this has been a long year.
What a decade this year has felt. It hasn't even been a full century since sports like football, like basketball, like baseball, like tennis were white sports. And now we have the gift of hindsight and seeing, wow, since we've diversified those sports and seen, yes.
Just the growth and just everything you expect.
Mm-hmm.
Remember from my story, so I grew up with those white teams. And I saw the teams that became more inclusive win championships.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Sameness just leaves sameness.
Yep. And it'll just solidify those blind spots. It'll validate these narratives that we create for whatever experiences have brought us to where we are. And it'll just never open up our eyes to what possibilities our sport has. It'll never tap that potential that our sport has yet to push. I mean, we're still going through the era of firsts in our sport. I mean, just a few years ago, we had Daphne Marchenko, our first woman of color, or any first person of color to row the boat race. We're going still through a lot of our firsts. I mean, I can't pull them out of my head right now, but still we're going through our firsts.
Let me raise my hand. First Black African-American executive director.
There you go.
Of rowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Still. So, folks.
10 years ago. That was just 10 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. So we have a lot of work to do in our sport. And we have a lot of people willing to do the work. And folks who are listening right now, make sure that you are taking these notes. This isn't one of those multitask episodes. I hope you're not washing the dishes or, you know, I mean, I hope you have a dishwasher.
That's right. This is a moment to just, you know, you've been asking these questions. You've been asking how. I've been getting these questions to the point where, I don't know if anyone knows, but we did create a how to create a community rowing program manual through toolkit through US Rowing. I sat down with Dr. Withycombe to make sure that we had a chapter in US Rowing level 2 coaching that was D&I, diversity and inclusion. And so we tried to I knew that we need to institutionalize what diversity and inclusion is. And you need to also ask yourself, how are you institutionalizing diversity and inclusion within your program? If your program traditionally, you know, a great example, I was working with Newberg Rowing, America Rows and Swim. And our strategy there was, because swimming is so important for rowing, they decided, I connected them with US Swimming, and they became a US Swimming site to be able to then teach swimming to their rowers, and they extended that program to the actual whole city I can't think of the name of it right now, but they're listening and they know the city. But what is your strategy? So now you say, you know what, by golly, you know, allyship is a verb, not a noun. And so I do more than just stand here and say, I just checked that box. And well, we tried to recruit, we put our posters up in the barbershop. Did you go back to the barbershop and say, have you been talking about this? Mm-hmm. So allyship is a verb. And so if you make this decision finally and once for all, because you have been awakened that we can do better. And I keep hearing that we can do better. We can do better. Well, I want to see you do better. How can I see you do better? Because when I'm at your regatta, I'm not the only person to look like me at the regatta. I'll tell you a story about a young man in Chicago. So I connected with Chicago Training Center and invited them to the Hit of Ohio here in Pittsburgh. And Chicago came with African-American and Hispanic rowers. And so one young African-American was walking along the river, and I stopped him and said, how's it going? He said, all right. I said, are you ready to race? He said, well, I'm really nervous. I said, well, yeah, our river's pretty big. I get that, but you can handle it. He said, no, how come we're the only people to look like us here? And that blew my mind because I was so used to it. I'm so used to being the only. And if you will never know this unless you're a person of color. The stress of being the only is a real thing. Mm-hmm. It is so real that our performance, our thought, our anxieties, there's a whole lot there. So if you're a white coach, your only rower, I'm gonna speak for myself, your only rower has more on their mind than just rowing when they're at a regatta and they see a white. Mm-hmm. I have witnessed rowing clubs call other rowing clubs that are community-based some vicious names at regattas. just vicious. And so if you want to be in this game and you really mean it, then you're going to be uncomfortable also. Mm-hmm. You are going to be questioning yourself often. You're going to throw your hands up in the air and ask yourself, is it really worthwhile? I'm not a social worker. You're not being asked to be a social worker. You're being asked to be a human being.
Yeah.
And understand that there is some things to being an only in society. And so I've been answering these questions, and you know, with this whole movement right now, with everyone out there protesting and everyone wanting to be an ally, I say I need allyship. That's a verb. I need you to be a voice. I need you to be recruiting at places that you never recruited before. That's mm-hmm. what being an allyship is. That's not just standing in front of a school and say I want you to row. Mm-hmm. It's beyond that. It's being that rower in the community. And for my white coaches, and I've said it, so there's a lot, you say, should I coach a person of color differently? Hell no, you coach them the same. I've had this question. Yeah. No, you coach them the same. I'll tell you about another rowing club, and I won't mention the name. So I'm visiting this rowing club. I won't even mention the state or the city. I just want
just keep it real anonymous.
Yeah, keep it anonymous. And they are telling me about their new program where they have all of these Hispanic kids, and we are a part of the community because the community is in this Hispanic neighborhood and this is fantastic, blah, blah, blah. So I go to endorse them. I go to speak on behalf of U.S. Rowing to get them to get permits to actually build a new boathouse. And on the groundbreaking or whatever, I've been to lots of new boathouses, so this isn't throwing anyone under the bus. I see the Hispanic kids on the side of the boathouse kicking soccer balls, and I see the white kids out rowing.
Mm. Mm-mm. And you know what? I can envision exactly what you're saying. I know. Yep.
Yeah, and so you have to treat them exactly the same. Mm-hmm. They're not there for a handout. If you recruited them to row, let them row. Mm-hmm. Don't be checking a box so that you can, you know, benefit from it, so that you can profit from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll be honest, I'd rather for you not be out there recruiting if you're not doing it with your heart.
That's not the right reason. Yeah, that hit a little hard here. Hit a little hard.
I feel you. I mean, but there's, you know, there's, I could count on my hands 70 really passionate community-based rowing programs throughout the country that's doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are those who are listening, you need to reach out to those programs that are doing it right. They are more than glad to talk about their program. They'll also talk about their barriers, the barriers to entry. And so reach out to other rowing programs that are community-based. And even if you can get one nugget from them, take that one nugget, because you're mm-hmm. going to be further ahead than you were if you didn't ask them questions.
Yeah. And it's all about these little nuggets of information, because that one size does not fit all. There's no cookie cutter.
No. We do have some of the very basic obstacles to rowing, transportation, cost, geographically, where is the boathouse located, mm-hmm. awareness. And then if you're recruiting youth of color, then there may be, when I was a young person, I wasn't allowed to play sports because it was important that I'm at home making money to help the family. But not all families are like my family, but that's just an example. Another recruiting idea that I'd like to quickly mention is that when you say it's not affordable, or you automatically don't go recruit because you said they can't afford it, are you trying to tell me there's no brown doctors? Are you trying to tell me there's no brown attorneys that can afford run? Are you recruiting adult people of color who might happen to know kids of color? Mm-hmm. That might have nieces and nephews of color,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it makes me think of the folks that we've interviewed so far. I mean, everyone on our podcast, while we do intend to interview all people of color, everyone so far has, they're all Black. And it's not, we reached out to people who were successful and happen to be Black. We reached out to people who were Black and happen to be successful. And we have doctors, we have people with PhDs, we have authors, we have Crashby winners. We have a lot of great and excellent people on our podcast, and we've only gotten, we don't even have 20 episodes out, you know?
Right. So to your point, people are out there, stop using excuse.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're not recruiting.
Yep. Yeah. So with that in mind, let's take a step back just for a second, because we're giving a lot of action steps regarding mindset. With regard to approach, you gave that example of visiting this boathouse location or the site, and it did have rowers who were Hispanic and rowers who were white. And even though it was at a boathouse, the rowers who were Hispanic were on the field playing soccer and the rowers who were white were out in the boat. And if a coach is going to conduct their program or act or demonstrate their program in that fashion, then you might as well not recruit at all. If that's not the mindset that folks should have, then what is?
Got it. So I really believe that in your heart of hearts, you have to ask yourself, why do I want to do this? Why do I want to be in this space? Why do I want to provide space? What are the reasons? Is it societal reasons that it's just time? Is it that you realize that you could be doing more? Or is it that the bigger my talent pool, the faster my boats will be? So you really have to go in really with the right heart of what is your why? What is your personal and professional mission statement? And how does that line up with being diverse and inclusive?
I think that's so important, because the work is not easy. If it was easy, it would have already been done. And there will be days when you have been spent, when you have done everything that you could, when you've expended your vulnerability, when you've exercised being uncomfortable to newer limits that you've never felt before. And I think on those days is when that why matters the most. And really solidifying that why will set up the stage for all the other actions to follow suit. And so thank you for emphasizing that the why really, really will help guide where our intentions go and how our actions can match those intentions as well.
Yeah.
This is hitting hard.
It's a lot, right?
It is
a lot. And it's interesting that when I was the manager for diversity and inclusion, mm-hmm. and I had the opportunity to facilitate and host the America Rows portion of U.S. Rowing Convention mm-hmm. each year. What I found that there was a lot of good people out there that just needed a little guidance, and so that this is not to be a dark podcast. We will speak about the truth, because we need to speak to the truth, but at the same time, we want to share this wonderful sport with as many people as possible. And there's a lot of people are hungry. What I found that people were hungry for information. They were hungry for my voice. They were hungry for my experience, because they were not getting it anywhere else. And that should be, if you're not getting my voice from anywhere else, sit down again and take a look at your board. Mm-hmm. Take a look at who is sponsoring you. Take a look at who your rowers are. And so if you have to wait until the convention to have that voice of a person of color, we need to question that as well.
Mm-hmm.
you're not sitting down having coffee with someone that's a community leader of color. You're not going to the, you know, this is, I'm gonna say this is sort of funny. There are lots of events that people think are Black only events because Black people are hosting it. And that's probably the event that you want to be at.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, I asked the organizers, is this cool for me to be here? I want to learn more. I want to learn more. I can remember, what city was I in? There's been so many cities. Oh, so one, maybe Saginaw, Michigan. Saginaw, Michigan, cute little rowing program, large Hispanic community. So we decided to set up two ergs, put a single on, you know, just have a single sitting up, Cinco de Mayo, not one word of English was spoken the entire time, this entire event. I had the flyers and information in both English and Spanish. It was the time when we had iPods, and so everyone could get on the erg and row 100 meters, and the person with the best time went an iPod, male, female, open weight. People were so amazed at what a shell looked like. They were happy that we were there. I didn't speak the language at all. I didn't care. It's their language. That's fine. They'll communicate with me. But the rowing club signed up people. They had a list. They had parents who wanted their kids to row. They didn't know it existed. And they had a list that they could now recruit from. And so we have to get out of our comfort zone. I spend my entire life uncomfortable being in this society. And so get out of your comfort zone. And you're going to find some wonderful people, and we're going to grow this sport. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see the future of our sport. It's like this podcast. This is the future. This isn't, you're not even the future of the sport anymore. You are here.
Mm-hmm.
You are here now. If you weren't here last year, you would be the future, but you're here right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people are, anyway, I think it's funny. I think to your point, that's really powerful. And I just want to emphasize, if you don't feel comfortable attending a party or an event thrown by someone who doesn't look like you, then how can you attend someone who doesn't look like you to attend the boathouse that is run? You know, it's just got to say.
Two-way street.
It's got to be. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I am, all my notes are
good. Are you good?
I wonder how our listeners' notes are. If you want to take a photo of your notes and tag it on the Instagram, please share. We're here to build each other up, build these bridges, build our programs, build our sport. Please take a photo, tag it, Rowing in Color, and we will feature you. Oh my gosh, Richard. Any last things you'd like to add for our listeners?
I'm actually about to go coach rowing.
Such a rowing podcast. Yeah. And
it's a person of people of color of rowing, right? My simple thoughts are that create the awareness in communities about rowing. So rowing has an awareness issue outside of rowing. Just like when I was introduced to rowing, I didn't know rowing existed. And I was a man at 40 years old at that point. My entire life, I did not know about rowing until I was 40. And so we can use bridges as a metaphor to separate us, or we can use bridges to connect us. And it's really time. This is the time, this is the moment that we have momentum to stand side by side together, to be allies, to grow this sport, because in your heart of hearts, you know that's the right thing to do, is to connect all Americans to the sport of rowing, and not just white Americans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could not think of a better ending note on such a valuable is not even the right word. It's what's more than valuable? I don't know right now, but I could not think of a better way to end every single golden nugget of information you've dropped in this episode. I'm so appreciative for your time, Richard. And if folks want to get in touch with you, if they want to follow you on your journey, how can folks get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Right now, you might find a lot of angry things on my Instagram, but that's okay. It's just truth that's coming from my heart. a whole lot of people out right now. Mm-hmm. At Coach RTB on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Feel free to DM me. I love answering questions and I love being a resource.
There we go. The bridge is built. Go reach out. Coach RTB on all the platforms he mentioned. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for your time, Richard.
You're welcome. Thank you for allowing me to do this.
Oh, please allow. You deserve the mic. You absolutely have the mic. Thank you for taking it and amplifying.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Rowing in Color.
Please remember to follow or hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
And if you're on Instagram, please follow us at Rowing in Color.
We really appreciate it.
Just as much as we appreciate you.
So this is Denise.
And Patricia signing off.
Stay safe, everyone.